All right, I got one more word from the Lord. Everyone in here, you are called to full-time ministry. Everyone, you are called, even little Ella, you are called to full-time ministry. Doing ministry, Catherine, full-time. See, God doesn't make a distinction between the sacred and secular life. We do that. To him, it's all sacred. He lives in heaven. He is holy. Everything is sacred. We make a distinction between Sunday and Monday. Right? Like, can I step on some toes? On Sundays, maybe we listen to different music. Ladies, maybe a few of us dress a little bit differently on Sunday morning than we did on Saturday night. You know, we make a difference between Sunday morning and Monday morning. Sunday morning, I don't know, I'm excited to come to church. Maybe other people aren't. I am. I know of people that dread going to church on Sunday, but they have to go to do what God tells them to do. I love it. But God doesn't make a difference between sacred and secular. It's all sacred to him. We don't take a break from being lovers of Jesus. We don't, it's Sunday, I'm a lover of Jesus. Now it's Monday, I'm a toiler and a worker. See, everything, he lives in us. So everything we do, he's there with us. And he doesn't take a break from us. He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't go, well, it's 5 o'clock on Friday. I'll see you at 8 o'clock on Monday. He doesn't take a break from us. He's in us all the time. He's with us. We are his temple. He lives in us. So here's a crazy idea. Would your life look different if you actually lived like Jesus was in you all the time? Would you say different things? Would you watch different things? Would you do different things? Would you go different places? Would you be different in any way? Because he's actually in us. And I'm not trying to shame you or create like this heavy thing of like, God's watching and if you're not good, he's going to get you. That's not what we're about. But I'm trying to help us erase any kind of categorization. Now, I love the Container Store. It's one of my favorite stores. I used to actually sell Nalgene containers. Like, I love, there is just nothing more fun to find the perfect container and get a little label on it and like have everything organized. That is fun. But we can't categorize our lives as this is holy, this isn't holy, this is sacred, this is secular, this is Sunday, this is Monday. It's all Jesus all the time, 365, 24/7. We are always with Jesus. Jesus is always with us. Everything is sacred to him because he is in us. See, making our bed, cooking a meal, hanging out with your friends, commuting to work. Actually being at work is sacred. It's not secular, it's sacred. Studying, maybe you don't have a job outside the home. You know, little side note, little soapbox here. I don't like the term stay-at-home mom, because that makes it seem like moms just stay at home and sit on the couch and I like better work at home, because a house is work. You know, taking care of kids, going to the grocery, especially if you've got teenagers. We got some teenagers. Like, I used to have to go to Sam's twice a week, and the basket would be full, and the whole back of the van would be full, and I'd have to haul all the food in and then put it all away, and then I'd blink, and it was gone. Like, working at home is work. So I like work at home mom, not stay at home mom. We'll just say that. That's my own little thing. But it's all sacred. Colossians 3:22 through 25, and I didn't give Dan any of these verses, so you will just have to listen carefully. Oh, okay. Well, Passion Translation, Dan. Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching. Oh. And not in pretense. In other words, we're not going to fake it till we make it. We're not going to just give lip service to our employers. We're not just going to, you know, do what they want. But faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. For we know that we will receive a reward and inheritance from the Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed. Not just learned, and followed. For God pays no attention to the titles or prestige of men. Faithful in all things. Faithful, meaning full of faith. Also, integrity. That means that we're not going to just do things at work or at home, maybe if you're young, for your parents, just to do them, just to give lip service. Integrity means doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, at the right time, even when no one's looking. Even when no one's looking. The Bible says that the nations are our inheritance. Here it says, for we know we will receive a reward and inheritance from the Lord. You want nations? Get a job. Be faithful in that job. The Lord will give you an inheritance of nations. Now, let me just say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we work off the debt of our sin. I'm not saying that we work to earn God's love, that we work to earn his presence, that we work to earn our salvation. That is all the work of Jesus and his blood. See, God does not value what we call ministry more than what we call work. If we're not careful, we think, ooh, they're the ministers. What they do is special and what I do is ordinary, because I just work. I'm just an engineer. I'm just a barista. I'm just a janitor. I'm just a mom. We think, ooh, they have a microphone and they preach and they hear from the Lord. And I'm just, have you ever had that thought in your mind? I'm just, that's not what God says. He does not value preachers, prophets, pastors, missionaries, more than he values doctors, nurses, policemen, guardsmen, engineers, baristas, students. It's all sacred to him. There is no separation between sacred and secular. And besides that, ask any minister, true minister, and they would tell you ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. It ain't easy. Have y'all looked at yourselves putting up with you? It's not easy. Just kidding. I love you. But see, we've made this weirdo distinction. We're the ones that have put some people up on pedestals and others down low, that we've made this distinction between Saturday night and Sunday morning, or Sunday morning and Monday morning. To him, it's all morning. And so he values all work and considers it a gift, and so should we. Look at Psalms 128, 1 through 3. I'm going to change it up, Dan. New King James Version. I know. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Guys, you want a happy wife? Get a job. Get a good job. Get a promotion at that job. Get a better job. Women like nice houses. Sorry, we do. We like nice things. Sorry, we do. Because we want to make a home. We don't want to just have a house. We want to make a home for our family. Like, it's not all women, not all the time, not all. I'm making some generalities here. Nobody come up to me afterwards and, I don't care about the house. Like, just, you know, go with it. Deuteronomy 5:13 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. He doesn't say to work all the time. He doesn't say to find our identity in our work. See, there's traps on both sides, right? Like, either we don't value work and we don't want to work because work is work. It's not play, it's work. Or we go into the other side where our work becomes who we are. I'm the CEO. I'm the manager. I'm the assistant to the manager. I'm the manager. Some of y'all got that. And we make it about, that defines us. This is who I am. This is, you know, getting more money, making more money, getting another sale, getting that job, getting that promotion. That's who I am. That's how I define my value. That's how I define my worth. Because I work, then I am worthy. Because I work, I am valuable. No, we are valuable because we are in Jesus and he paid a price for us. That's where our value is. Our identity is in him. Our identity, our value, our worth is in him. But he says work. And so we work with integrity, doing it the right way, for the right reason, at the right time, with the right motive, even when nobody's looking. We do our best. We give our best. When we go into work, we make the best darn latte they've ever tasted because we've learned how to do it. We know how to steam it and stamp it down and grind it up. And I got it in the wrong order. We grind it up and then we stamp it down. Then we steam it through. Then we add the milk and we learn the little art, latte art. And we do our best, but we don't get into analysis paralysis, and we're not seeking perfection. See, we don't have to be perfect, but we give our best. Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit. Whew, I might get this embroidered on a pillow at home. But mere talk leads only to poverty. We can talk about work, but if we don't actually do the work. I've worked in some offices. I know how it is. There's lots of talkers. Oh, they want to talk, and they want to have a meeting, and then they want to have a meeting about the meeting that we're going to have next week for another meeting that we had 3 weeks ago. They love meetings, and then we need to bring in lunch for the meeting, and let's have a lunch meeting. Oh, yeah. But nobody ever actually sits down at their desk and gets the work done. We love administration. Oh, you got to have a manager and an assistant to the manager and an assistant for the assistant manager. And then you got to have, like, you know, the CFO and the, what was the one, head people person or something. Like, you got to have all these layers of people and they all got to walk around. And, you know, I went out of town this week for a few days. I flew back on Friday night. I was at Hobby when that big storm came through. And so they'd shut down the ramps because there was lightning out there. And so I was waiting on my bags. And I decided to go to the bathroom. And they had, like, this bathroom sign down the hall. And it was this weird, like, because they're, of course, Houston airports are forever in perpetual construction. They're constantly adding and remodeling, like, both of them are just a mess. So I'm walking down this hall, and there's rain just pouring through the ceiling, like pouring down onto the floor. And I was like, woo, got through it. I go around the corner, and behind me, I hear this, ah, bam. And so, having medical training, of course, I go running back over there. This lady is just out flat, like flat. She had hit that water. She had on those little cheapo, you know, Eckerd drug $3 flip-flops, and she had just, I didn't see it, but looking at her, the way she was laying, literally, she just went feet up, head down, and she said her head bounced. And she was in her 40s. First thing, are you on any kind of blood thinners? Have you taken any aspirin today? Check all the things out. But she was dazed and confused. Like, she was, ugh. Well, of course, somebody ran off to get somebody, a security officer or an officer came. And we hadn't seen any workers. You can recognize workers over there because they wear orange shirts. And this is nothing on the workers at the airport. Like, they're just doing their job. But after that, I saw like 50 orange shirts all over there. Well, who was that? Well, where was the sign? Well, what happened to the sign? Well, it's like everybody was now in total cover their behind mode. Like total, well, I put that sign out. Well, somebody must have moved it. Well, it wasn't us. Well, it must have been one of the passengers. Well, da, 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 da. And I mean, now all of a sudden, because somebody had fallen and actually hit their head and they had to call 911 and take this poor girl. She was supposed to drive to Austin. I was like, woo, I don't think I would do that right now. And so they ended up taking her to the hospital. I'm sure she got a CT. I'm sure she was in the hospital all night. I gave her some recommendations of where to go and where not to go for the hospital. I won't say that on the internet. But, all of a sudden, all these layers of people, and then you just saw them all, reporting to one another, and everybody was trying to cover their behinds. Like, that's what work loves. Like, we just love to talk, but nobody actually wants to just roll up their sleeves and do the work. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. God works. If he works, do we really think we're going to get out of it? He works. For God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He actually prepares in advance for us to do good works. Because it's a gift to us. It's a gift to us when we are able to work and work hard and work diligently and produce something. That is a work. God values work. And he considers working to be holy. And it's what he has designed us to do. All work is ministry. All work is ministry. What if you thought about your job as ministry? Your job is ministry. Working at the coffee shop, ministry. Working at the pet suites, ministry. Bow Wow, Camp Bow Wow. Working at Camp Bow Wow, ministry. I'm a student. I don't work outside the home. I volunteer at a hospital 3 hours a week as a chaplain. This is work. I don't wake up like this. This is work, okay? And so I get up and I go to work. I drive down to the little hospital. I get my little list of patients and I go door to door, knock on the door. Hi, my name is Cammie. I'm a part of the volunteer chaplain group. And I come around on Thursday afternoons offering prayer. Would you like prayer? That's my little spiel. And some of them say no. And I'm like, okay. And then I walk around the corner and Jesus touch them. They don't stop me from praying. But a lot of them say yes. And so I get to pray for healing for them, their family, the patient, the family that's there. I pray for them. It's work. But I love it, but it's work. And then I go home and I pick up the groceries from Sam's and I put those away. And that's work because it's a lot of Coke Zero that I'm carrying into the house, a lot of Celsius, a lot of food that I'm carrying in. And then yesterday I was outside. I trimmed the hedges. Baby, I trimmed those hedges for Jesus, okay? Those hedges, they look good. I'm sore. I'm going to pay for that, but it's going to be all right. I don't want our house to look like the sloppiest house on the block. Why? Because that doesn't represent Jesus. That's not who he is. That's not how he is. What if you were so convinced that your work is ministry? Not just what you say, to where you're standing around and trying to tell people about Jesus instead of making the coffee that somebody ordered. Not that you're so like trying to preach the word that you don't actually get your work done. But what if you do your job so well, you provide solutions instead of complaints? What if you build up your coworkers instead of tearing them down like some others do? What if you see an issue, you see a problem, and you go home and you pray about it, and the Holy Spirit gives you a supernatural answer for that, and you're able to go back to work and say, hey, boss, I was actually, you're going to think this is crazy, but I was praying about this, and this is what I felt like God said we should try. What if Jesus is so on the inside of you that you are so full of his grace and his mercy and his love and his hope and his encouragement that when you come to work, the atmosphere begins to change and people say, there's something different. I know we're both standing here making lattes, but there's something different about the way you make the latte and the way I make the latte. What if you actually saw your job as ministry? Woo! What could we do to Fort Bend County? What could we do to the Sugar Land, Houston, Katy, Cypress, wherever you live, Missouri City area, if we actually believed Jesus lived on the inside of us and he was with us all the time? Wow. Wow. So see, whether you're a work-at-home mom raising babies, or a student or a teen in school. School is your work. Learn it. They're not just trying to teach you what they're trying to teach you, what you see in front of you. They're trying to teach you things for life, learning how to do processes, learning how to take steps and to build on those steps, learning how to think critically. You know, I used to think, I didn't understand what critical thinking was. I thought it was critical thinking, like thinking critically, like, oh my God, I can't believe they wore those shoes after Labor Day. I can't believe they wore white before Easter. Like, I used to think that critical thinking was thinking critically. Not critically as in you try to look at it from every point of view, but as in being nasty and mean. Critical thinking, I've learned, is when you can take yourself out of your point of view and look at your thought or the problem from different points of view. And so you have a thought, I'm ugly. Say you look in the mirror and you think, I'm ugly. This will hit girls more than boys, but it might hit some of the boys, you know. We won't exclude you. I'm ugly. Critical thinking is where you can step outside of that and look at that thought and say, is that how Jesus says about me? Does Jesus say I'm ugly, or does he say I'm beautiful and that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Does he say that I'm made in the image of God? So if that doesn't match up, then that thought can't stay. Critical thinking about a problem. Let's do a problem at work. Say you've got some coding problem. Now, I'm not a coder. I've never coded anything in my life. You know, I wear coats, but I don't code. Okay, two different things. I get it. My technical assistants over here, yes. Okay, but you coding, there's certain patterns that you follow. But what breaks the industry open, what we're seeing now in the industry, is when people step out of it and say, well, why are we still doing it this way? Just because we've always done it this way doesn't mean we have to continue doing it this way. What if we thought about something totally different? That's critical thinking, where you're able to assess what's happening and then bring about possibly a different solution. So work is holy, and it's valuable to God. We're the ones that have mislabeled it. Proverbs 12:11 says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Those who chase fantasies have no sense. I'm thinking about reviving dreambusters.com because I hear a lot of people talking fantasy and acting like it's faith. Now, there is faith that can seem like fantasy, but then there's fantasy that wants to mimic faith. What's the difference? The source. the source. I want to be a preacher because I want to be famous. I want people to look at me and to like me and to respect me and to love me. What's that source? Me. I'm shy and I don't ever want to talk on the mic. And God says, boop, you're my man. You're my woman. You're the one that I want. And so you step out in faith and you give that word from the Lord and you're shaking on the inside and you could barely talk because your voice is shaking. Because God has called you. The difference between fantasy and faith is the source. God may call you to do things that you never thought you could do. He may call you to places that you never thought you could go. He may call you to write things that you never thought you could write, to say things you could never say, to do things you could never do. The difference between fantasy and faith is the source. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." It's God's word. So work is God's idea. It mirrors his character. It provides for needs. It fosters growth. It glorifies him, and it benefits others. So our full-time ministry is working for God's glory in all that we do. Working for his glory in all we do. So we're going to pull weeds for Jesus. We're going to do laundry for Jesus. And we're not going to let it sit in the washer all night to where then it sours and it's stinky. You're going to have to rewash it with vinegar, okay? Like if you have towels that sit at the bottom of your hamper and they're wet, put a cup. You don't have to put a cup of vinegar in your wash and it'll keep that sour smell away. Do that for others. See, we're going to make lattes for Jesus. We're going to commit to work for Jesus. Maybe your job isn't your passion, okay? It's some people are very lucky in that what they're passionate about is how they also make money. Some people just have an ability, and they go to work, and then that pays for their passion. Like, it can work either way. And most of the times, it works that way. Most of the time, you have a job because you have a talent in it. At one point, you had an interest in it because that's where you felt like God took you. But it may not be that you're super passionate about accounting or bookkeeping. Or, I mean, we need bookkeepers. I made a face, but we need bookkeepers. God bless you bookkeepers because I can't do it, so I'll give you my books so you can do it. But then that pays for the passion that God has given us. See, I was a sales rep. God blessed me in it. It flowed with my natural talents. It flowed with my natural ability to speak, with my natural ability to influence, talk people into things. It's just, I have a gifting. If I'm on a diet, I guarantee you most of you are going to be on the same diet within a few months. Like, it's just, I influence people. I was the highest I the guy had ever seen on the DISC test. Like, I influence people. This is what I do. But then it paid for my trips. It paid for me to go to school. It paid for things like my job that I wasn't passionate about selling scientific supplies. I liked the selling part because I liked to talk. I wasn't stuck in an office. I got to walk around and I was known as the candy lady because I had candy with me all the time to get them to talk to me. But then it paid for stuff. It paid for my passion. But if we are faithful in what we do, and we do it as if we're doing it for Jesus. We're not putting on a front in front of the manager and then acting a different way when they walk away. We're not having to quickly put down our phone or flip what's on our screen because we were shopping for shoes instead of looking at that spreadsheet that we were supposed to be working on. When we're faithful and work as if we're working for Jesus and not just for whatever company, he promises that blessings will come. And so maybe God is speaking to you this morning and trying to get you to see that your job is your ministry. It is your mission field. What you do has value because you're doing it and you have value. He paid a price for you. He determines your value, not what you do. You do what you do out of a place of knowing who you are, and that's in Jesus. What you do doesn't define you. What defines you determines what you do. Dr. Seuss there. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. See, the people that you work with, do they all know Jesus? Could it be that they are the field that God has given you to work? Could it be that you are faithful and an example of integrity and joy and hope and trustworthiness that around you that they will see Jesus and want what you have? Could it be that as you are faithful and God's blessings on your life start manifesting, that those around you might start noticing and wonder why? Because we both have the same job, but how is it that you're driving such a nice car? Or how is it that you seem to be so happy and I hate where we work? And how is it that you can stand our boss? And how is it that you can come in here every day and have hope and peace and joy and love? How are you so different? Well, let me tell you, his name is Jesus. See, maybe your neighbors or other moms or coworkers or other students might start seeing Jesus in you when you don't complain like they do. When you don't gossip like they do. And again, I'm not trying to, like, you know, you're bad, you're gossiping. No, I'm trying to encourage you to see that Jesus is in you. He is with you. He is for you. And he wants to flow out of you onto all those around you. When you work like Jesus is actually in you and you are working for him, it will start shifting atmospheres. It will absolutely start shifting atmospheres. A long time ago, I think it was Pastor Lena, taught on being, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? A thermometer is going to change based on the temperature of the room. A thermostat's going to set the temperature. Are you going to change based on the atmosphere of what you're around? So on Sunday, you're joyous, you're happy, you're amen, you're woohoo, yeah, Jesus is good. And then on Monday, oh, I hate this job, I hate these people, I don't want to be here today. Oh, is it Friday yet? TGIF. Oh, the drive, the traffic. Oh, that guy cut me off. Oh, bless you with a brick, Lord. And then, you know, come back to Sunday, ha ha. Or are you going to set the temperature? A long time ago, every year my sales company, or the scientific company, would have a sales meeting in January or February. And one year, I mean, it was like this big thing. And I mean, they had it on everything. They gave us notebooks with this phrase on it. They gave us pens with this phrase on it. I think I got a backpack with the phrase. I got a water bottle with the phrase. You run your day or your day will run you. And I mean, it was a big thing. Like, they gave us planners and everything. And we actually had workshops on how to plan your day. You set your atmosphere or your atmosphere will set you. You set your atmosphere or your atmosphere will set you. And so I want to challenge you guys. This week, do a little critical thinking, not thinking critically, critical thinking about your attitude towards work, your attitude towards your housework, your attitude towards raising your kids, because that can get tiring, depending on their age. Your attitude towards Monday morning. Are you already dreading it? Like right now, sitting here, are you already amen. Bingo, I guess I hit it. Nailed him. Are you already dreading Monday morning? Are you already dreading the drive-in? Instead of looking at it as a time, you know, now you got to keep, well, some people who have certain cars have self-driving abilities, and so they can just sit there and think about whatever. Most people have to think and still pay attention to what's happening on the road, but you have time. You have time there with Jesus. You could, as Pastor Easy used to encourage us, pray in tongues all the way to work. Set your atmosphere. Lord, I thank you that I have an atmosphere of peace. Lord, I thank you that I have an atmosphere of solutions. Lord, any problem that comes up today, God, I thank you that you give supernatural solutions to us. Father, I thank you for this job. It's a blessing. It's paying my rent. It's paying my food. It's paying for my kids' college in the future. Lord, I thank you that I've got shoes to wear and clothes on my body. It would not be pretty if I had to go work without them. Lord, I thank you that this job is paying for my car and my insurance and my gas and my taxes. Lord, help us. Like, what if... on that ride in, you had an attitude of gratitude, and you went ahead and just began to supernaturally set the atmosphere within your workplace. And Lord, let people see in me something different. Lord, help me see something different in me so that I don't act like the devil, and I can act like you. And Lord, I don't act like everybody else, but I can act like you want me to act, Lord, so that they can see you in me. God, I thank you that this is my mission field. Until you release me somewhere else or call me to something else, this is it. This is where I'm at. And so, Father, I thank you that I make a difference in this place. What if? What if? So stand to your feet with me. If you can stand, if your toes aren't too bruised from me stepping on them. I want to challenge you this week. When that dread comes up in your heart, you don't need to deny it. We're not fakers till we make it. We're not going to fake it till we make it. You don't need to deny it. You can say, uh-oh, okay, I know what this is. This is dread. Okay, I've got a wrong perspective here. Lord, help me see this like you see it. You love these people. You died for these people. I want to bless them with some fivefold ministry, but you love them, Jesus, so here we go. Help me to love them like you love them. Lord, give me a word for my secretary. Give me a word for my boss, my manager. Lord, let me have some sort of supernatural breakthrough here. For that so-and-so that's walking around on crutches, Lord, give me the courage to pray for him and let him be healed. And so just bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that over this next week, you highlight in us, in our thinking, anywhere where we have separated sacred and secular. Because it's all sacred to you. You're in us. You love us. You died for us. You gave all for us. And so, Lord, help us this week to notice that, to notice any dread, to notice any hopelessness. Holy Spirit, I just ask for supernatural breakthrough in the areas of work, whether it's work at home, moms, or dads, or whether it's out in the workplace. Lord, I just ask for revival to come in us and then to go through us. Revive us, Lord. Revive us where work has been dead. Revive us where our thoughts have been wrong. Revive us where our attitudes have become moldy. Lord, revive us. Bring revival to our hearts that we could bring it to those around us. And so, Father, I thank you for supernatural breakthroughs in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.